Somebody say good morning. All right. It's so good to see you here this morning, as always. Wow. What do you say when you've turned seven? You say happy birthday. Amen. You do. You know, we thought about what we could do to celebrate this birthday that we have. Usually we have just an absolutely big, gigantic event. We had felt like God wanted us to do something a little different. And so we had asked Steve Lummer and Brenda Lummer, who are executive pastors of Journey Church, or executive board members of Journey Church. They are a part of a group of people that lead me and hold me accountable and absolutely are dynamic in their mentorship of my life. People who have been where I am just beginning to go and serve to be so rich in wisdom. They're usually here with us speaking as well. Every year we've had them, actually. And we just felt like we need to do something a little different because God kind of put a word on my heart. So we're going to bring them out at the end of August when the children's wing is complete and have a complete building dedication. The Troy Chamber of Commerce is coming out the next day. We're going to have a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. So we look forward to the end of the summer. But we just wanted to do something a little different here this year for 7 years. 7 years. You know, we actually, you see 7 years and it's so big, but if you actually break it down, I sat at a calculator and I said, what does 7 years actually look like? 7 years looks like 84 months. Think about that. 84 months, 364 weeks is 7 years. 2,548 hours, get this, 2,548 days, 61,152 hours, and get this, 3,679,000 minutes. Oh my goodness, something's getting ready to happen. 3,679,000 minutes, 3,600,000 moments, so dear.
3,679,000 minutes, how can you measure 7 years?
And lawns cut,
floors cleaned,
cars parked,
and cups of coffee,
and handshakes, and offering,
bulletins too.
679,000 minutes. How do you measure 7 years of Journey Church? How about love? How about love? How about love? Measuring love. Seasons of love.
Don't worry about it, kid.
What? The children's pastor. How do we recover this?
In diapers.
In lessons.
In outreach.
Johnny Pest.
In fusion.
In crew.
And saber events.
It's time now to sing out those stories.
Remember the love.
3,679,000 minutes. How do you measure 7 years of Journey Church?
How do you measure 7 years of Journey Church?
For our Broadway team. Amen. God bless you guys. Let them know they're ready for the Broadway summer tour that's coming out. Amen. How many know you never know what you're going to get when you attend? Amen. Wow. Amen. We're so thankful. Would you let that team know one more time how appreciative we are of them? Thank you so much, brother. Wow. We're so, so blessed to be a part of this church. And whew, how many ever thought you'd be a church where Dale Hepperman sings? Amen. Wow. 7 years. You know, in looking back at how we got here, a sizable congregation of people that are homeowners, by the way, that have accomplished a lot inside of our community, serving our community, readying our community, loving being in our community, as well as what we have been able to accomplish outside of our community and borders. I mean, it's absolutely astounding. He has done so much. It's astounding to be on the other end of so much provision, so much blessing, just 7 years down the road to see all the people that have come through the vision of this church, to see all of the moments of service that we see here at this church, people that realize that to make a dream work, you need teamwork, to see all of the financial support and sacrifice that has come to support it all, to see the provision for the vision is humbling. It's mind-boggling. It's a dream come true. And as I look back, the success of who we are today, because we can use that word, the success of who we are today cannot be tracked back to one gigantic moment. There wasn't one thing. Pastors ask me, church planters ask me, how did you guys do it? How did it happen? Tell me the remedy. And it's just, there isn't one thing. It's what you saw on the stage. It's not one gigantic moment or one big event or one particular thing, but rather a bunch of little things put together to make a big, big dream happen. Somebody say little. Can I share a truth with you? The path to God's dream is never given to you all at once, but it is given to you little by little. Little by little, step by step, stage by stage, phase by phase. To have what we have today didn't happen overnight. It happened over the course of 3,679,000, right? 1,000 minutes. Can I tell you, that's the way the kingdom of God grows. Can I tell you, that's the way a dream happens. That's the process to which we develop and grow as people. I love it that we had a little Ryland man closing out this song. And one of the reasons we chose him is not just for who he is, but Ryland, being that we're 7 years old, Ryland is 7 years old. And I remember the first time I met him was right before Journey Church started. He was about 8 months old, what my daughter's age is now, and a little dude in diapers. And he wouldn't give me the time of day. He wouldn't look at me. He screamed if I came any closer than 3 feet from him, as do most people. But I remember Kara's response. She said, "Don't be offended. He refuses to talk to men. He refuses to be around anybody that's a male." And over time, I have just watched these two, the single mom who gave her life to Jesus. I watched her give her all. And I'm certain in that moment where she's choosing to be a part of this church at our beginning, she's wondering how this is going to happen. How am I going to be able to do this? How is this all going to work out? So many questions we have as parents, new parents in particular. As I watch her give her life to Jesus and give her all, and I watched him, through a mom, committing her life, her parenting, her home to God, I've watched him become a powerful little man of God himself. You let us play a video a while ago, and I don't know if you guys got that, but I think it was just a couple of years ago, he did a presentation at his school, and they were asking him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and his words were, "I want to be a pastor when I grow up." Man, that's awesome, isn't it? I think that's changed now to a policeman, but God will save him again. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? But how many know that didn't happen? That moment didn't happen overnight. That didn't happen instantaneously. That growth, the growth of this home, the growth of all of our homes, happened little by little. Let me say it again. That's how a dream happens, little by little. Look at your neighbor and say, "Little by little." Amen. I love the seventh chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there if you want. We got them for you all on the app. We got it for you on the screen. But I love Deuteronomy anyway. But Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter, before we get to chapter 7, the Israelites are heading to the promised land. They've experienced freedom from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh. The 10 plagues have happened. God's people have been set free. Let my people go. It has happened. And the Israelites are headed to the promised land. And God is encouraging them along the way as to what it will be like, the promised land, when they get there. And in verses 13 through 15 of chapter 7, you see just a snapshot of some of what God is talking about as he is telling Moses, what it is. And then Moses is telling the people, "Hey, this is what God has shown me is waiting for us when we get to the promised land. Guys, when we get there, it's going to be like this." And verse 13, Moses is saying, "He will love you when we get there. He will bless you when we get there. He will increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb. He will bless the crops of your land. Your grain will be blessed. Your new wine will be blessed. Your olive oil will be blessed. The calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people." I mean, as Moses is saying this, you can just almost see the saliva drooling from the mouths of the Israelites as they have never experienced this type of life before. And they're saying it's what's to come. Moses goes on, he's saying, "None of your men or women will be childless, nor will any of your livestock be without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease." And he goes on and on. And this is a great thing to look forward to. I mean, people are just like, "Oh, let us just get there right now." But also in this chapter, something else is said. God said, to get there, you're going to have to travel there. And on the way there, you're going to run into some tough people inside of some rough cultures. And they're not going to, how should I put this, celebrate your journey or your arrival. You will have enemies. And God even names these enemies in chapter 7. I call them the ites. He names these enemies. He said, these are the enemies you're going to face. He says, the Hittites are waiting to fight you. The Girgashites are waiting to fight. You're going to run into the Amorites, the Canaanites, who were actually the ones in the promised land at the time that he was speaking. The Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations, God says, you're going to run into, all of which are larger and stronger than you. Little bit of a balloon inflating moment right there. That's not so encouraging. But God said we're going to beat them. And God said it will be done through a process called, he says in verse 22, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. And here's the process. Little by little. He says you will not get through them all at once. This isn't a one-time victory here. This is going to happen little by little. How many love hearing little by little? Nobody, right? I mean, in hearing that, the Israelites got to be asking, why, right? Little by little. Isn't this the God that's talking here, the same God who had delivered us miraculously from Egypt? Isn't this the same God who parted the Red Sea for us to get away from Pharaoh's army? Little by little, couldn't God simply cause and allow us to take the promised land in a similar miraculous event? Not that God doesn't do things instantaneously, but hear me today, Journey Church. More often than not, the path to the promise so often follows a process. And it's so important that we understand that, especially if you receive a dream in your heart, receive a word from God. It's so important that we understand that that word is the promise, but so often there's a process that leads to that promise. And it's important that we understand that. It's even more important that we understand that process is for our own good. Because so often I think we find ourselves in the process to the promise not believing that what it is we're experiencing is for our own good, especially when we've got the ites coming at us in life. And God kind of understands that, or he doesn't kind of, he fully understands that we struggle with that mentality, and he's so caring and loving. He even goes into a little bit more detail in Exodus 23. He kind of is digging into the same discussion. This scenario is found in a couple places in the Bible at the same time. And he digs into this process a little bit, and the Israelites are getting through the otherites, and in more detail, God says this, I will not drive them, being the ites, right? The Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, because they want it one and done, right? I want to get there. God's saying, don't think it's going to happen that fast. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. God says, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Did you catch that right there? God is saying, I'm not going to do this all at once. I'm going to do it little by little until you have increased. What does that mean? God is saying that they're not at the level needed to truly occupy the promised land. They're not ready to occupy the promised land. The promised land is big enough to hold them, but they're not big enough to hold on to the promised land. God is saying, before you get there, before you go there, you need to grow. Before you go, you need to grow. If I send you there at your current size, you will be overcome. You will be defeated. People will want what you have, and they will take it from you. You will be destroyed by other nations. Heck, you're so small, even wildlife could overcome you at this point. Isn't that what Scripture says? So we're going to accomplish this dream, God says, little by little. Meaning, I am going to use the journey to prepare you. I am going to use the journey to grow you. I am going to use time to increase you, to increase your size, to increase your number, to be able to handle and hold on to and keep what it is that I will give you, little by little. You know, in thinking back, in looking back, more than this church has grown in the last 7 years, I have grown in the last 7 years. I couldn't have handled what it is I have now then. I wasn't ready. I didn't know it then. I thought I was. But I do now. I couldn't have pastored this then. I would have certainly failed. And man, I certainly hope this scripture serves to encourage those of you today who are asking the question, where is it God? When is it God? Where is my answer God? When is my answer God? If you're single here today and maybe you're asking the question, where is this wife you're supposed to be giving me at God? Or where is this husband you're supposed to be giving me at God? Where is this $1 million God? Where is this promotion God at my work? When? Where? A point to this talk here today is to encourage and inspire the steps there. Please hear me today. The path is as important as the promise. The little by little journey he has called you on is important for us to celebrate along the way. Why? Because as we see in the scripture in Exodus, increase and readiness were the focus of God's purpose in the path. Was the focus of God's purpose in the journey. God's saying, you don't have it yet because you're not ready to have it yet. Hear me today. If you are asking that question that I know I so often ask, where and when, right? God's answer would be, you don't have it yet because you're not ready to have it yet. If he gave it to you now, you'd fail with it. Whether you think you would or not, he knows best. How many knows that old show? Father knows best. Amen. So what is he doing now? He is strengthening you. He is readying you. He is increasing you by any means necessary to give you and grow in you the ability to carry his sizable blessing for your life. Amen. Somebody in their seat right now just needs to say under the whisper of their breath, all right, God, I trust you with where you have me. I remember when we started planting this church. You know the story, so I'm not going to spend time telling it. But man, I remember I was just working a job and just wondering when I was going to get to do this full time. Give so much of my time. I want to give as much as I could. Just wondering when, stocking shelves. Just God, when? Maybe you are in that place right now. Where you're at currently is not where you want to be. But listen, if it's stocking shelves, if it's in that moment, celebrate where you're at because God is doing something in you. God is using what he has around you to grow you before you go. Amen. That's how a dream is reached. Little by little. Let me take another look at little by little from another angle because that's how the kingdom of God grows, little by little. It doesn't grow through flash flames. It spreads one by one from one person being influenced by another person. That's why serving is so important in the kingdom of God because we realize that we get to be part of the growth, the one by one, little by little growth of the big kingdom of God. If you're serving in this church, let me tell you something. You are part of and responsible for your part in a very big cause. And it's this, to see the kingdom of God grow. whether it's pushing a vacuum cleaner here on a Friday, when nobody else sees you, maybe you're in here, right? Nobody else is seeing you. There's not a camera and a screen, and it's not going out to the world. And you may think, all I'm doing is just pushing a vacuum cleaner, or maybe it's serving in the kids' room as a teacher's assistant. Maybe you're not even the teacher. You're just the assistant, and you're there with kids. There's not a camera in the room. They're not able to see. The world doesn't get to see what you do. Or maybe it's an usher that's preparing for the offering before a service at 8:30 in the morning. Maybe it's somebody on Thursday just folding bulletins. Maybe it's somebody on Tuesday just mowing the backyard. Maybe you're not a part of the front line of the worship team. Maybe you're just in the back strumming a guitar or playing an instrument or in the sound booth. Or maybe you're somebody in the parking lot that's holding one of those little things, those orange things, directing them. Maybe you're not the one at the front of the parking lot. Maybe you're in the back and you're just taking them around the thing. Maybe you're not seen by everybody. What it is that you're doing may seem little. It may seem small. It may go seemingly unnoticed, but let me say it again. You are part of and responsible for your part to a very big cause, which is this: the growth to the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God grows little by little from each person doing their part to create an influence to those around us. It is the growth of the body of Christ. I love the phrase body of Christ, because we see a body, a big body. But if you were to go microscopically, you would realize that the human body is made up of billions of cells, all performing seemingly little tasks and functions, but extremely important tasks and functions. That's why the author says in Corinthians, we all must do our part in the body for the body to function. I look back in how this church grew, and that's how it grew. Little by little, people serving, doing their part in letting God's kingdom grow. Another point to this talk is to inspire and encourage your little part. Little to you, but can I tell you, to us, it is just as important as anything done in this church. We all have our place in the body. Another point to this talk is to encourage and inspire your little why, because a lot of a little can make a big impact. Let me say that again. A lot of a little can make a big impact. Have you ever seen the movie A Bug's Life? I think that's one of the greatest CGI movies that exist. I think it's absolutely awesome. And there's this scene in Bug's Life, if you haven't seen it, please watch it. It is very, very good. There's this scene where Kevin Spacey, the grasshopper, right? The grasshoppers are oppressing the ants, and they make the ants feed them and take care of them. They're just lording over their authority over the ants, and some of the ants under this regime rebel, and the grasshoppers are like, it's no big deal. Most of the grasshoppers are saying it's just a couple ants. And Kevin Spacey has this scene in the grasshopper bar. Remember this? And he's making a point. There's this big, like, seed jar or whatever that's going in. It's hard to explain the Bug's Life, but he grabs a seed and he just throws a seed at one of the grasshoppers. And he's like, did that hurt? And the guy's like, you're kidding me? No. You know? And he's like, how about this? Boom. How about this? No, it's not hurting a couple seeds. And he goes, how about this? And he rips the jar lid off of it. And I don't know how many seeds, hundreds and hundreds of seeds just fly out. And I think they kill the two grasshoppers. And Kevin Spacey makes this point that a bunch of little things can create a big impact. I absolutely love that scene right there. What am I trying to say here? If a prayer may not seem like much in the moment. Hear me. A prayer may not seem like much in the moment, but if you stay consistent every day and you pray that same prayer, let me go off the heels of our talk last week, Lydia's. You're praying for your husband to be saved, or maybe you're praying for your wife to be saved. Or kids, maybe somebody's praying for a parent to be saved. Or maybe even as adults, we're praying for our parents to come. If you're praying these prayers, let me tell you something. In the moment, it may not seem like much. But if you keep praying and you keep going, can I tell you something? It was awesome to see my dad and watch him come to know Christ. But I can tell you, my mother prayed a prayer for him to come to know Christ for 10 years. Every single day. 10 years. Years, every single day. That's 365 days a year times 10. That's a lot of prayers. Amen. I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. My brain just went, what? 3,650 prayers. Amen. That's a lot of prayers. Let me tell you something. You package 3,650 prayers, put them together, and send them to heaven. That's going to make an impact. And can I tell you, 10 years later, I'm in ministry. I'm a youth pastor in Lake St. Louis. And the first time I get the opportunity to preach on a Sunday, my dad comes to church to hear his boy preach. And I gave an altar call at the end, and I saw his hand go up. And I almost cussed. I was like, what the? Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, what? Like, my dad raises his hand, gets out of his seat, comes up and kneels, and gives his life to Jesus right there in that moment. Answering a 10-year prayer of my mother and years of my sister and I praying as well. Can I tell you, you will see it happen if you keep going. Little by little. It makes me think of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, where the author says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, which is not giving up, which is continuing forward, which is being persistent and consistent in your commitment to Him and His cause, you will receive what He has promised. Hold on. Trust Him with where He has you. Keep taking those steps. Little by little, your dream will be handed to you. The answers to your prayers will be handed to you. It's something that you can't rush. I was watching my daughter, who's 8 months old. You got that picture of her? And she has completely bypassed and abandoned the crawling track. Like, it's not necessary for her life. Now she just wants to stand and shuffle, right, along things. And so she just wants to walk along things, and she's walking along. The other day, Missy went out to go shopping, and we're off on Fridays as a staff, so I'm just sitting here, and it's usually like if Missy can get the opportunity, it's like, you off today, you're not doing anything? See you later, I'm out, you know, you take care of this kid. And so I'm sitting here with her, and I'm watching her just scoot along the furniture, and she's sitting here, and she's at her little toy that's a tea party toy. Those songs, those stupid songs are stuck in my head. Oh, anyway. Let's have a tea party. It's going to be great. Anyway. And she wants to abandon that. And she wants to go over to the little ottoman thing that we have. And she's just reaching for it. And I'm like, come on, you got it. You actually got to walk there. You know? And she's, I want it to come to me. And she reaches, boom, just face plant. I'm like, awesome. I'm like, I'm not going to have her be a little girly girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let her face get roughed up on the carpet there for a minute. But it's just, I'm just kidding. I didn't know. I'm like, baby, I'm sorry. That's what I was really doing. But I was like, that's so interesting. God's almost showing me in this moment that going too far, too fast will always lead to failure. And He's showing me that in that moment. I'm like, man, I do that. I do that. I think you do that. I think we all do that. I don't want to have to do all of that to get there. I don't want to wait. I want to get there now. And And so often we usually end up being swallowed up by impatience or the desire to hit the fast forward button and just get there. How many love sometimes just to hit the fast forward button, to just get there? I remember June 7, 2009. And I just, it was different for me than it was for everybody else, because God has shown me what He wants to do. And so it was, it's hard looking at the seed knowing that an amazing tree is coming. And you're just like, I want to see the tree. I want to see the tree. You know, I want to get there. I want to hit the fast forward button and just go to where He wants us to go, because He's shown me. But in doing that, I would be fast forwarding over the learning experiences that God has given me on this path that is leading to the answer, that is leading to the dream fulfilled. If I were to hit the fast forward button, I would be fast forwarding over Bonneville's auditorium and all of its memories and all of the learning experiences that He gave me. I could sit here and preach a sermon series that would last a couple years on the learning experiences He gave me while we were in that building. I would be fast forwarding over 421 John Deere Drive and all of its memories and all of its learning experiences that God gave me while we were there. I would be fast forwarding over that. Can I tell you, there is blessing found in the process leading to the promise. There is blessing found in the little things that lead up to a very, very big dream. You ever seen the movie Click with Adam Sandler? Like, I don't know if I necessarily endorsed that movie, but, you know, I remember watching that movie, and toward the end, I'm crying, and it's rare that you're crying in a stinking Adam Sandler movie. But he gets this magic remote, and it's like you can fast forward life, and he just ends up fast forwarding because stressful times and challenging times. He's going to fast forward through this, and something ends up breaking. He ends up just, and he's at the end of his life. He's an old man, and he's realized what he's missed out on. He realized all that he missed, and it's too late. It's too much, and he's miserable, and with tears, he's just saying how he wants to. If I could just get a second, I'd want to go back, and I miss the fights. I miss the stressful times. I want to experience the challenges. It's quite a lesson. A lesson that teaches you to embrace where you are right now. When you find yourself in stressful times, instead of freaking out, go to prayer and ask God, what are you teaching me in this? What are you teaching me through this? What are you trying to show me? What are you trying to grow in me? What are you using this to ready me for? It's a lesson that teaches you to trust in your today, because He has your tomorrow. James chapter 1 verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time. That's a good underlining point, proper time. That means not your time, that's His time. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Journey Church, I want to thank you so much for not giving up, for sticking with us, for embracing your part in this. The growth of this church is not on the shoulders of your pastor. It's on this church. I remember having a conversation with somebody in Kroger that says, you go to Journey Church. I love hearing that stuff. Yeah, I do go to Journey Church. I love it that I'm not recognized as the pastor sometimes. And I remember this particular conversation I was having in the checkout lane. They said, I've heard about your church. I heard they accept anybody there. I heard they love everybody there. Some of the kindest people, they were saying that they know. I remember hearing these words, expect me there real soon. It wasn't, I heard the pastor's a great preacher. I had to put that stuff in there. I had to throw that in the car. Yeah, he's awesome. I love that guy. It wasn't worship is off the chain, even though we have all that. It was what we do as a body. Expect me there real soon. The future's bright, guys. God is getting ready to do some pretty big things through this church. I've been talking about it a little bit with our leadership teams, about what I feel like God's getting ready to do in this church. Like, so much bigger than us. And I'm looking back on 7 years, and seven is a significant number biblically. I don't know if you know that, but seven is used, I think it's over 850 times in the Bible, the number seven. And I'm not talking just like, you know, just it's just there. It's connected to something. It's connected to something that has to do with God. I mean, it's mentioned 54 times alone in the book of Revelation. I mean, it is a foundational number in God's word, and seven is so often equated to completeness and perfection, to ready, should I rather say. And what's also important is that seven is always related to or tied directly to God's creation process, leading up to that readiness, leading up to that perfection, leading up to that completeness. I mean, I could go into all kinds of stuff on the Jewish calendar, and it's insane. But it's always tied to creation process and God readying something for it to be used how he wants it to be used. And I believe that these past 7 years, God has been creating in us and readying us these past 7 years to receive what it is that he has for our future. And so lock in with us. So I'm telling you, it's coming. Something that I can't even explain it right now. That's why I'm not going to go into it, but it's just God's getting ready to do something big, 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 big here. And he's just been readying us. And just embracing the path that we're on is so important. I had a very influential person in this community come into the building Friday morning. We were putting insulation into the children's wing. Very influential person in this community. Never been in this building before. I was like, oh my goodness, and walking through, just sharing vision and what we're doing here. And this person's a big board member in a big church in this community. He said the church that he's a part of is just declining, and the church isn't really wanting to embrace change, not the leadership, but the congregation. And this board member says, he goes, I said in the board meeting, you know what we need to be like? And they said, what? He goes, we need to be like Journey Church. And I said, you told your board that? And he said, those people looked at me like I had just come straight from the gates of hell to tell them that, you know. He said, because they love everybody. And until we love everybody, nobody's going to stay here. And I was just blown away. You know, we put something in the ground, and to have statements like that be made, I don't know, that just does something on the inside of my heart, as I trust it did on the inside of yours when you just heard it. And I love you all so much. Amen. Amen. Let's stand today. Thank you. I want to ask our leadership team and our communion teams if they would to come. Somebody say, little by little. We all play a part.